back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mitch makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds?
Yes. Manningham on the sideline.
Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And we welcome you into Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes, breaking down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. So glad you could join us this morning. You can take part in the show via the phone lines at 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. If you can't get to the phones, you could certainly chime in via Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name M-E-D-O-W. So glad you could join us. What I want to do over the next few weeks, and Paul Dottino and I will split up the shows as John Schmelk is out of town preparing for the big wedding, and don't worry, we'll provide details on that as we move along over the next few weeks. But what I want to do is each and every day focus on one position for the New York Giants as we get you set for the start of training camp, which is about a month away. In addition to that, if you want to talk about anything in particular regarding the Giants, feel free to give us a call. But in conjunction with the position discussion, I also want to get into the NFC East, because clearly it goes without saying the easiest way to win your division is you got to take care of business within the division. And when we focus on each and every position, I also want to talk about how that position looks for the other division rivals. So what I want to do today is focus on the Giants running game, as they have brought in a number of new faces, whether it be rookies and vets, and how this Giants running game is going to shake out, how it's going to break down, who's going to be the number one back, who's going to be the change of pace back, and how it matches up well with what the other teams have to offer, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Washington Redskins. So let's start at least in terms of how the Giants running game is going to look as we get set for training camp. They brought in Rashad Jennings from the Oakland Raiders, who split time with a few backs in Oakland, most notably Darren McFadden. But once Darren McFadden got hurt, Jennings pretty much took over as the go-to back. And he was a guy that they utilized in the running game. They also utilized him as a receiver. And so far during the course of OTAs and minicamp, Jennings has been the workhorse in the backfield. If you look at how they utilized him in 7-on-7 drills, 11-on-11 drills, and even during the individual drills, he seems to be the face of this running game as we get set for training camp. And as long as Rashad Jennings can stay healthy, and he stayed healthy for the most part with Oakland, dealt with a couple of nagging injuries here or there, but so far, so good with his time here for the New York Giants. Then after Rashad Jennings, who right now is in the driver's seat to take over that number one back, you have David Wilson. And David Wilson is still waiting to get some clearance before the start of training camp. He anticipates that he will be given the green light. He received some positive news a few weeks ago where he is making progress regarding that neck injury. And they believe, everyone associated with the organization, that he will be able to take part in contact drills once training camp gets underway. But there's still some question marks regarding David Wilson. What type of a role will he play? Can he handle X amount of carries each and every game? Do they see him still contributing with respect to special teams? So with that being said, to me, David Wilson, assuming he can get clearance and will be able to stay healthy, he's going to be probably a change of pace back to complement Rashad Jennings. Now, the screen game is going to be an important integral element of this Giants offense this season, and we've gotten a taste of it during OTAs and minicamp, where they are utilizing the running backs, the receivers, in a lot of short passing situations. And the coaching staff even talked about this on the final day of minicamp. And Eli Manning, in terms of his improvement as a quarterback, Danny Langsdorf, specifically the QB's coach, the fact that Manning's decision-making in dropping off to the running backs has been on key this offseason. And that is going to be an important part of the Giants' offense, because what happened a lot last season, if you look at how last year played out? More often than not, the offensive line struggled. Eli Manning did not have a great deal of time to look back, survey the field, and often he was just throwing it up and pressing the envelope. This season, as a security valve, as a security blanket, what they want to do is they want to tell Eli Manning, listen, if you don't have the option deep, and they are going to line up four wide receivers more often than not, and they're looking to get the tight ends involved, but if you can't get something deep or you can't get something even middle of the field, it's not a worst-case scenario to just drop it off to the running back. And we were talking about this a lot during the course of last season, where Manning at times would not look to the running backs just to dump it off, because if you get a pass to the running back and he's able to pick up 3 or 4 yards, that is just as good as a run. And then you get a manageable second or third down. So there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And that is something that I think they're looking to not necessarily add to the offense, because that was a wrinkle that was there last season. It just wasn't necessarily utilized and it wasn't executed. We could have an entire show on the evolution of the screen pass regarding the New York Giants over the last few years. This season, though, all jokes aside, that is going to be something that Ben McAdoo wants to turn to. And I think that they have the running back personnel to carry that out. And that's why they've been working on that so heavily during the course of OTAs and minicamp. Because you have Rashad Jennings, he could catch the football out of the backfield. That's not necessarily something that he's going to be new to this season. They asked him to do that in Oakland. Then you look at David Wilson. He has been called on to catch the football in the past. And he has been a big piece of the special teams unit. Not necessarily last season, but in 2012 when he set all types of marks for the New York Giants. After that, Andre Williams, not a guy that has caught the football out of the backfield during the course of his collegiate career, where he played at Boston College and really made a name for himself because he was such a big bruiser. And Tom Coughlin was asked about this in great detail. Well, you know, what are you going to do so that Andre Williams feels comfortable catching the ball out of the backfield? And Coughlin's answer, I thought, was right on the money. Who says we have to have him catch passes out of the backfield? It's not as if they don't have other options to go out there, catch a pass, and move up the field. Williams, to me, is going to be the guy that's going to get those goal line carries, and he is going to get the short line situations, the third and ones, the fourth and ones, the third and twos, the fourth and twos. Now, that's the type of role that I see Andre Williams. Are they going to utilize him in other downs? Absolutely. But he's going to be the guy that is going to pick up that small chunk of yardage so that they can continue a drive. That, to me, is the role that Andre Williams, I think, can carve out. David Wilson, change of pace, utilize him as a receiver, but not overwork him. I think they're going to be very cautious and very careful with how they utilize David Wilson. And the reason I say that, special teams assignments has yet to play out. Right now, Quinton Demps and Trindon Holiday, to me, are in the driver's seat for the kickoff and punt return specialty situations respectively. But that doesn't mean that they don't want to groom or prepare somebody else to take over. The positive is David Wilson has experience, but you want to be very careful in terms of how you divvy up his roles and responsibilities. Because remember, the goal with David Wilson is not necessarily to worry about the 16-game slate. The goal is preserve him. Make sure he could practice each and every week, and don't put him in situations where he could re-aggravate an injury. So with that being said, Jennings, to me, your number one guy. Andre Williams, your short yardage situations. David Wilson, your change of pace. And then you have Peyton Hillis. If they do keep four running backs, Hillis could be that hybrid type of running back. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can be used in short yardage situations. And he could also be used as a change of pace back. That's why I consider him that hybrid type of running back. But remember, that's assuming that they keep four running backs. Now, David Wilson, the fact that you don't know necessarily what you're going to get out of him until you see maybe preseason games, and you may not get that big of a glimpse in preseason, this may be the year that they have to keep four running backs. And not to get completely off topic, but this is why Ryan Nassib's development over the course of the offseason is going to be so critical this summer. Why? Because the goal for the Giants is keep two quarterbacks. Why keep a third quarterback and then have to sacrifice depth at another position? You keep two quarterbacks, hey, you can keep an additional running back. So that's how the mathematics plays out in this situation leading up to training camp, as well as during the course of training camp. It's going to be a very exciting camp because, as I've mentioned all offseason long, you have a great deal of depth at multiple positions. You have a great deal of depth on special teams, more so than I have seen in recent history. And depth is a good problem to have. There's nothing wrong with that, because all that does is that helps foster competition. And you're going to have competition in the running game, because even though I just laid out those labels for all those running backs, that doesn't mean that somebody's not going to necessarily blossom or wow us during the course of the preseason. Perhaps Andre Williams takes full advantage of all of his carries, and maybe they see him and not just necessarily a short yardage back, a guy that can balance carries and breakdown carries and split carries with a guy like Rashad Jennings. If you look at the trend over the course of the NFL, over the last few seasons, very few teams get away with one bulldozer, one back that's going to get 25-some-odd carries. Adrian Peterson, you know, he's one guy that comes to mind with respect to the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, he's going to get 25 to 30 carries a game. But outside of him, especially how many star running backs have gotten hurt over the course of the last few seasons, a lot of teams go in saying, we can't afford to just rely on one guy. Therefore, we have to have multiple guys. Even if they all do the same thing, we still need to divvy up the carries in a specific way. And I think the Giants have seen that in previous seasons, especially coming into this year. That's why they brought in a lot of depth. And the other thing to take into consideration when you evaluate and you look at the Giants' running game is the fact that you need to protect yourself from injuries. That's number one. You want to have a varied backfield, because you want to be able to keep the defense on its toes. And you want to have guys that are comfortable in all different circumstances, in all different situations, because you never know when a player can't get through the week of practice. You go back to Ahmad Bradshaw. And the Giants can also look at previous experience, specifically in 2008 when they had that three-headed monster, Jacobs, Bradshaw, and Derek Ward. And that big game, if you recall, that Derek Ward had against the Carolina Panthers. You want to have that type of backfield where the system is so precise, the system is so structured, that no matter who they throw in, you're going to have openings for the running back. Now, a lot of that is based on how well the offensive line performs. But if you evaluate and you look at the O-line entering this offseason, this training camp, compared to the O-line entering last year's training camp, I don't want to say it's night and day, but you have a lot more options and you have guys that are healthy and less question marks than you did coming into this time last year. So that's pretty much what the Giants running game looks like. As we go throughout the course of the program, I want to open up the phone lines, obviously, right now. I want to get into the Eagles running game. I want to get into the Cowboys running game. I want to get into the Redskins running game and how that necessarily matches up with the Giants. We'll also get to a number of your tweets as we take you along here on Giants.com. Without further ado, let's open up the phone lines, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, Twitter hashtag Giants Chat, and you can also directly follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Lance Meadow with you here this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to Derek in the ATL. Derek, what's happening this morning?
Good morning today, Lance.
Good morning to you, Derek. What you got?
I think looking at the Giants' backfield, first of all, I think that we pretty much have to keep four, because I think we're not going to get rid of David Wilson. We're not going to get rid of Andre Williams. So that, I mean, that leaves Peyton Hillis to be the only one that's odd man out, and he's so pro ready, basically, can do so many things for us: block, catch out of the backfield, and run, you know, through the middle. I don't think that we can afford to lose him. I just think he can do everything that the other bats can do. So, first of all, I think we're going to keep all four. I think Michael Cox is going to be an odd man out of that class.
Well, Michael Cox's best chance, Derek, and I'll let you continue. Michael Cox, to me, if he can make a statement on special teams, you know, that will help at least secure some type of a roster spot. But I agree, with all the depth, with all the numbers in the running game, it's going to be very difficult, number one, for him to get carries, and it's going to be very difficult for him to get a great deal of looks during the course of the preseason games, even though we do have an additional fifth game. So I think the way that Michael Cox gets on this roster is that with his return game opportunities, he all of a sudden shows the Giants something that they didn't necessarily see last year. Because remember, he got a bulk of the kickoff return duties last season. Now, part of that was because there weren't a lot of great options aside from him. This year, you have a lot more competition. So for Michael Cox, it's going to be a real tough challenge moving forward. But if he can make some noise on special teams, that to me is his best shot.
Yeah, because I think that he's going to have to probably take one back or something like that, because I think the Giants probably say, you know, look at one of the linebacker positions or look at one of their draft picks to, you know, maybe take an extra spot on special teams. I mean, he has to do something spectacular. But the one thing I like about the Giants' running game in the division is that they are diverse in their backfield. There's faster backs, there's stronger backs in our division. But I think we have a combination of all the type of backs that you need in throughout the game from the other teams in the league. You know, I do like the fact that we have backs now that could actually run routes out of the backfield. Maybe that's why Eli didn't actually throw so many of them, you know, to the backs before. They kind of seem to me that they go right up to the linebacker and just hung out with the linebacker. I'm like, okay, you know, just don't go to the linebacker and stand there. You know, go run a route.
Well, so, but keep this in mind, Derek, and I think the point you made is spot on. There was some separation issues. However, given the fact that the offensive line struggled, the running backs needed to really stay back for pass protection purposes, so they didn't really have a great deal of time to get set and run routes as a result of that.
Yeah, but you look at the way some of the other backs in the division run routes, or some of the better backs in the league run routes. You know, they run a route directly at the backfield, you know, as soon as they see that their linebacker, their responsibility, maybe they have a blitz responsibility. As soon as they see the linebacker not blitzing, they actually run a route. You know, what Giants have seen do a lot is they check and see whether the linebacker is blitzing or not, and they basically go 2 yards and turn around at the line, you know, and see if Eli will throw them the ball. And that's not really a route. That's just kind of like, okay, if you don't see anything else, I'm here.
It's something sort of on the fly. That's what happened.
Yeah. I do think that Philadelphia Eagles running back game is pretty impressive with their two, McCoy and
Darren Sproles. Yeah, that is a two-headed monster. That's pretty scary, given the versatility and the fact that both of them could catch passes out of the backfield.
The one thing that worries me with that is that we're going to play bump and run press coverage, and as soon as you know, they turn their backs, they're the really fast running backs running out of the backfield on linebackers, you know. So I see them running, you know, utilizing that against the Giants, and hopefully we've got some people that can keep up with that.
Well, and I think that some of the pressure is going to fall on the secondary, too. A guy like Walter Thurman, for example, given the fact that he's a speedy guy and is going to be in the slot, you know, he can at least help contain some of these fast, shifty running backs. So the fact that they have a little bit more depth in the secondary should help out that linebacker unit, where each and every week you don't necessarily have to say, well, it's Jaquan Williams' responsibility or Paysinger's responsibility to make sure that these shifty running backs don't all of a sudden put up monster numbers. I think the fact that you have a little bit more depth at the corner spot, perhaps they could get creative, and let's not forget that three safety alignment utilizing a guy like Demps, who's also fast. Because remember, Demps has a lot of value on this team, and I think sometimes it gets overlooked. He's going to be a return guy, he's going to be a safety guy, and he's going to be a guy that they're even going to utilize in the box as sort of a linebacker. So that's three different roles that one guy can play. That just goes to show you the diversity they have on this year's roster.
Yeah, one more thing before I go is that one thing that we need to keep an eye on, because the Giants have been so horrible with it, throughout their last past couple of years is a screenplay out of preseason games and out of training camp. We definitely need to work on that a lot, and we definitely need to run better screens than we have on the last few years. And I'll talk to you tomorrow or next time.
I'll be in tomorrow, Derek. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. At Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W on Twitter. Let's get to some of your thoughts on Twitter. And real quickly before I jump to Twitter, the last point that Derek brought up about the screen game, it goes without saying. And we've talked about this in great detail, specifically last season. The screen game is an important element, not just for the Giants, but any NFL team, especially when you have running backs and wide receivers that if you can get them out in open space, they can do so much damage. And I think that fits what the personnel has to offer for the Giants this season. But it's all about execution, and it's about the offensive line. It's about the tight ends. Everybody's got to be on the same page, and that wasn't really consistent last season. But this season, because I think of the fact that everybody's healthy and you're grooming some young tight ends, and Ben McAdoo loves the screen game based on how Green Bay orchestrated its offense, it is bound to improve. It's still early to tell. We've got a long training camp. A lot can happen, but based on what has transpired during the course of minicamp at OTAs, they are looking to get a lot of quick passes and then get blocking up the field so that the Victor Cruzes, the Odell Beckhams, the Jarrell Jernigans, the David Wilsons, the Rashad Jennings, all of these players who have speed and can catch the ball in the backfield can do damage moving forward. So I think that is going to be a key element of this offense. It's just a matter of the execution. Execution has not been there over the last few seasons. Okay, let's check in on Twitter. A lot of you weighing in on the Giants running game. And as I mentioned, if you want to get into something other than the Giants running game, feel free to throw out those thoughts on Twitter and you give us a ring. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. So let's get to some of the questions and comments about the Giants running game. John Dunn at Dunny Villain writes in, could the Giants use Hillis as a fullback and cut either Connor or Hynoski so we could keep Cox and the other three guys? Well, the fullback situation I don't think is going to impact having three or four guys in the running game. However, if you move Hillis to a hybrid type of role where he could be a fullback, he could be a running back, that could give you options, not necessarily in the running game, but I think elsewhere. Because if you keep, let's say, hypothetically, John Connor and Peyton Hillis, and you assign those two guys as your fullbacks, or the option is you keep one fullback, the battle between Connor and Hynoski, I could see it playing out. You keep one of those two guys, and then Hillis is your fourth back because he can serve as a backup fullback, but at the same time, you could utilize him in the running game. I could see that situation playing out, where the Giants would have Jennings, Wilson, Williams as your three main running backs, Connor slash Hynoski, one of those two at fullback, and then you keep Hillis as the fourth guy so that he serves as a insurance running back as well as a backup fullback. That's how I could see. Right now, on paper, Michael Cox, to me, is on the outside looking in. And it's simply not necessarily a reflection of Michael Cox's ability. It's just a numbers game. That's what it comes down to. Now, here's where things could get tricky and complicated. If David Wilson does not make the type of progress that they anticipate during training camp, right now, barrier number one, get clearance for contact. That's barrier number one. And the goal is he'll be set to go July 21st for the start of training camp. Then after that, now you got to take advantage of the opportunities. It's not just getting clearance with contact, it's actually taking advantage of these reps. So that, to me, is two things that David Wilson needs to get over, two hurdles, before we start saying, okay, he's going to be in this group of three versus this is going to be the guy on the outside looking in. But if we assume that David Wilson takes part in training camp, shows the Giants something, that he's able to return to full form, he, to me, is definitely included in that group of three. And Michael Cox is the guy who is on the outside looking in. So to answer Josh's question, I know we got off to a little bit of a tangent. I can absolutely see the Giants utilizing Hillis as a fullback slash running back. But I do not see them getting rid of John Connor and Henry Hynoski and then saying Peyton Hillis is the fullback. I could see Hillis being the backup fullback, and then at the same time, you have some versatility where you can utilize him as a running back. That's how I see it. They're not going to keep Connor, Hynoski, and Hillis. If anything, they'll keep two of the three, because at least you know one of those three can serve dual roles. Let's head back to Twitter, see some of your other comments regarding this. Black Caesar, at Black Caesar on Twitter. As long as Andre Williams holds on to the ball, I'm okay with him changing up the running game. Well, Andre Williams, been very little time that he's been out there on the field during minicamps or OTA, but ball security, I don't think, is a huge concern for him coming in terms of his resume. Moving forward, though, it's the number one priority for everybody. Whether you're a rookie, whether you're a guy that's coming into his second year of play, whether you're a seasoned veteran. Ball security is priority number one. And that actually relates to David Wilson. David Wilson, ball security. When I was at minicamps and OTAs, what was interesting that I saw with respect to David Wilson, what he was doing, even though he couldn't take part in the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills, a lot of work on the side. And he was working with the Giants coaching staff just in terms of simulating getting the snap and moving to the right, moving to the left, where the football gets placed, how I put both arms on the football. So just because a guy is hurt or just because a guy doesn't have clearance doesn't mean that he's not working on the mental side of things. That, to me, really stood out about David Wilson's game, the fact that on the sidelines each and every day of OTAs and minicamp, going over the different plays, which direction you run, and how you secure the football, so that it becomes second nature by the time you get in there for drills during the course of training camp. So that's one thing that really stood out to me with respect to what David Wilson was doing and how he was taking advantage of his time during the course of OTAs as well as minicamp. Jay at JCS02008. It is interesting how we will utilize the running backs. Assume Jennings is going to be a productive running back when he's had one season over 500 yards. Well, keep this in mind. Rashad Jennings has not been a starter during the course of his career. He was the backup to Maurice Jones-Drew, and then coming into Oakland, he wasn't necessarily considered to be the number one back. It was Darren McFadden. So when you look at Rashad Jennings' numbers, I wouldn't get too caught up in the numbers game. It's more about the number of carries that he's received. However, last season was one of his first seasons where he got a bulk of the carries, and his numbers blossomed as a result. Now, I know what a number of you are saying. Well, Brandon Myers coming to the Giants did not necessarily have a great resume and was not necessarily a every-down tight end, had one good season, and then it didn't necessarily pan out with respect to his role with the Giants. But remember, the Giants were asking him to block more often than not. Not necessarily go out and run routes as he was called to do in Oakland. Rashad Jennings, the things that the Giants are going to utilize him, he did in Oakland, where he ran inside, he ran outside, and he was looked upon as a receiver. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a transition compared to what Brandon Myers had to do. Let's head back to the lines. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Our good buddy Roldy is in Bayshore. Roldy, what's happening?
Morning, Lance. How you doing?
Good morning to you, Roldy. Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. I hope you're going to hold it down until John gets back.
I will be in the mix. I'll be making an appearance each and every week for the next 3 weeks. Paul Dottino will be in as well. I have to attend the whole wedding. So keep in mind, I need to leave for at least a day or two.
All right. Listen, I think the screen game is going to help out the Giants really good with as far as the facts is concerned. I think it's healthy. David Wilson, I think with this injury, probably kind of made him feel like, you know what, if I get another shot, another chance, you know, to play in it and you know, this season, I think he's going to show everybody what he's all about. I mean, I know a couple of years since he's been drafted, he hasn't really shown much, just, you know, been fumbling the ball too much. And I think, you know, him holding the ball, like, with two hands is kind of messing him up, too. I think if he could hold the ball up like Tiki Barber did, because Tiki Barber had issues with fumbling the ball, too, and he changed that by holding the ball high and up and tight. So if he could just do that, and just concentrate on just playing ball and having fun, I think he could be a different guy, you know, as far as the running back. And I think he could be the guy that works well in the McAdoo system. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. I think David Wilson has a lot of the intangibles that Ben McAdoo would put a lot of stock behind and a lot of value. The fact that he's fast. If he gets out into open space, he can turn a 2-yard gain into a 50-yard gain, and he has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. You'd like to see him improve in terms of pass protection, and as you mentioned, Roldy, he needs to do a better job in the ball security department. But right. I think that they see him as a guy that can really add a new dynamic to this running game as long as he holds on to the football. In terms of the whole mechanics, holding the ball with two hands versus one hand, I think it comes down to, Roldy, whatever the running back is most comfortable doing. So if David right. Wilson feels good with two hands, hey, more power to him. The goal is, at the end of the day, hold on to the football. If he needs to have two hands, if he needs to add a third hand, if he needs to put a brace on, listen, whatever does the trick. Just because Tiki Barber did it one way or Andre Williams does it another way, I think every running back can utilize a different strategy, but it all needs to lead to the same goal, and that's just hold on to the football and be able to absorb contact.
I agree, but I feel like, you know, when he was holding on two hands, he was so concentrated. I felt like he was so concentrated on holding on to the ball while holding on to the ball with two hands that he didn't get the yards or he didn't make the plays that he really wanted to make. So that's why I was saying, you know, maybe if he changes it up and hold the ball high and tight like the way Tiki Barber did it, maybe that could be a beneficial to him, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's a valid point that mentally maybe he was so into the mechanics that it was taking away his decision-making in terms of should I run left, should I run right, if the play breaks down, what should I do? But if you look at the improvement that he made from last season and what he's doing during the offseason, for him to now change it again, Roldy, I think that would be taking a few steps backwards. If he's made this much progress and it's now embedded in his mind and it's second nature, I don't think it would bode him well if all of a sudden he now said, you know what, I want to go back to one hand.
Right, okay. All right, now, as far as the linebackers, though, Lance, my boy J-Rock from the Shakedown, you know, he's really high on this guy. Dan Fox, how is this guy doing?
Well, Dan Fox, it's a very small sample size we're talking about. And you're referring to the linebacker out of Notre Dame, in case anybody's unfamiliar with that name. And he certainly showed a lot in the classroom. That's what the Giants coaching staff commended him about over the course of OTAs and minicamp. But at the end of the day, as every Giants coaching staff member will tell you, until they put on the pads, Roldy, it's really hard to gauge and tell how effective these guys are going to be. So I think that he comes from a good program. He has familiarity out of that middle linebacker spot, and that's a spot, given the fact that John Beeson is hurt, where there's an opportunity to make a name for yourself. But to sit here right now in late June and say, this is going to be a guy that is going to transform this linebacker unit, I mean, that would be extremely premature. I think he's going to have opportunities and reps in training camp, and once we see what he does there, I think we'll get a better read as to whether or not he can carve out a role in this Giants linebacker unit. But to get back to the middle linebacker spot, Roldy, right now, I think Jameel McClain has a great deal of value. He's going to be the guy that's going to take over Beeson's spot. And if there's any rookie or undrafted rookie that I would point the finger at to
Kennard?
Say, hey, this is a guy, correct. It's got to be Devon Kennard. Out of all the players that came out of this rookie class that could play the linebacker spot, he had the most reps in OTAs at minicamp. He showed a lot to the coaching staff on and off the field, and he's got a big maturity factor. So that would be the guy that I can see carving out a starting role more so than anybody else.
That's good. And my last point, too, I think it's time for, you know, some of the guys that we've been waiting on, you know, to show up in previous years. I think this year should be the year that, you know, guys like, again, you know, David Wilson, you know, the Quan Williams, those type of guys. I think it's time for these guys to start waking up now. I think they need to realize this is their opportunity, or maybe this could be their last opportunity. They got to make the best of it. I mean, we're all waiting on guys like Adrian Robinson, you know, David Wilson, the Quan Williams to step up and make a big, huge leap and become the players that we all know that, you know, they can become, you know. And I just want to see these guys step up this year. And, you know, thank you for taking my call. I hope you hold it down, Lance. And I appreciate you putting me on the air.
Not a problem. Appreciate the phone call, Roldy. Take care. Thanks so much for weighing in. And there's a lot of players that you could point to. And I think Roldy brought up an interesting point, and we can have that conversation moving forward as we take you the rest of the hour, as well as for future shows. Specific players, and I wouldn't necessarily put the rookies in this classification, and maybe not necessarily a second-year player, but a guy that's entering his third year, fourth year, who hasn't necessarily blossomed, who hasn't necessarily stayed healthy, but the writing's on the wall and the opportunity is here this offseason. And Roldy threw out two players in particular, and you can't argue with him. Adrian Robinson in the tight end position and Jaquan Williams. Now, Jaquan Williams, unlike Adrian Robinson, let's be fair here, he has had some game-changing plays, and he has been productive on the field. The problem with Jaquan Williams is some inconsistencies and also injuries. With Adrian Robinson, he's barely been able to get out on the field. And I know we make jokes easily about this, but you go back to that Lions game late last season. Okay, hey, Adrian Robinson's active. Adrian Robinson's healthy. This is going to be it. This is going to be the game, like Jarrell Jernigan, where he's going to flash. He's going to give the coaching staff a reason to not go out and bring in 25 different tight ends. What happens? Opening kickoff. He doesn't even survive the opening kickoff. So at the end of the day, you got to stay healthy. That, to me, is sometimes the first hurdle that a lot of players haven't even overcome. And we like to speculate on this program. You love to speculate as a football fan. Hey, this is going to be a guy that's going to fit into this equation, and he's going to be able to bring this to the Giants offense or the Giants defense. How about staying healthy? That, to me, is the goal for Adrian Robinson. Adrian Robinson has looked good during the course of mini camps and OTAs. And I'm not just saying that for the sake of saying that. He has. He has taken advantage of his opportunities, as have a number of tight ends. But hey, you catch a few passes in minicamp, you catch a few passes in OTAs, that's great. That shows consistency. Let's see what you do, though, during the course of the preseason. That's when you separate the men from the boys, because you're going up against other players with pads, other NFL talent, and you're simulating gameplay. So that's extremely important. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Focusing on the running game in particular on this program. Start off the program going over the ins and outs of the running game, at least on paper. What role each running back probably is going to play moving forward. I also want to get into the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins running game. Derek, who called in earlier, chimed in on the Eagles running game. And if you were to rank the running games, the depth charts, Philadelphia, to me, at least on paper, is arguably the most dangerous one. And that's because they have two running backs that have a great deal of versatility, and they're veterans. It's not as if these are unknown commodities. And that's LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles. So the Eagles running game really strains out a defense, because these guys can run inside, they can run outside, they can catch passes out of the backfield. Another player to watch with the Eagles running game, similar to McCoy and Sproles, is an undrafted free agent who they brought in, Henry Josey, out of Missouri. Small guy, but shifty, crafty, a speedy guy. Had a pretty good career at Missouri. The problem with him is he was plagued by injuries during the course of his Missouri career, with the exception of this last season, 2013. So that's another guy that you could see doing some damage in the passing game. And it's understandable. With Philadelphia's offense, they like to catch defenses off guard. The one thing, though, that I look at with Philly's running game that they're lacking, at least at this point, I don't see a big bruiser. And I think every team needs that. You need and Andre Williams, like the Giants have. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not Philly can develop a guy during the course of training camp. But that's what Philadelphia's running game looks like. With respect to the Cowboys' running game, in terms of who they've been working with over the course of OTAs and minicamp, you have DeMarco Murray, and that's their big bruiser. The problem with Murray is staying healthy. Joseph Randle, who was a draft pick last year out of Oklahoma State, he also struggled staying healthy. But he's going to be a guy that has a great opportunity to solidify that backup spot. They have Lance Dunbar, who they've utilized as a change-of-pace running back in the past. And then Ryan Williams, who they brought over. Ryan Williams has had some experience with the Arizona Cardinals, so he adds some depth. But like most of their other running backs, health is a big concern with the Cowboys' running game. at least as I look at it on paper, because Murray's had injuries, Randall's had injuries, Williams has had injuries, and Dunbar is the only relatively healthy running back, but he hasn't nearly had as many reps as some of the other guys had. Then you look at Washington. You know, Washington, unlike any other team in this division, is the team that can get away with one running back who takes 25 to 30 carries, and that's Alfred Morris. And the Giants have firsthand knowledge of what he can do. He is a bruiser. He's not a guy that's necessarily going to catch passes out of the backfield, but he is a workhorse, and he has wreaked havoc on every defense in this NFC East. The Giants, with their secondary, with their defensive linemen, you know, you hope they're better suited to stop the run, specifically with those defensive ends. You know, everybody focuses on the defensive tackles. You need good defensive tackles, those stopgappers. But you also need your defensive ends to stop the run. And, you know, Justin Tuck was good against the run. So, to me, when you talk about who's going to complement JPP, it's not necessarily who's best at getting to the quarterback, but it's also who out of this group, and I'm talking about DeMontre Moore, Mathias Kiwanuka, as well as Robert Ayers, who can stop the run effectively. That is the guy that's going to separate himself from the rest of the pack, who will be able to solidify that job. Kiwanuka's in the driver's seat because he has some familiarity with the Giants' defense. And he also is coming off a season, let's not forget, where he had 6 sacks. That was the most he's had since 2008. Is sacks the best indicator how effective a guy is in getting to the quarterback? No. But considering Kiwanuka's numbers over the last few seasons, that was certainly a step in the right direction. So that's pretty much what the running game looks like over the rest of the division. Ranking these units, to me, is extremely premature and doesn't do much to add to the conversation. But not being a homer and not necessarily favoring the Giants' running game, and this group does have a lot to prove, if I look at the versatility, what the running game has to offer, you could make the argument that the Giants' running game is the most varied of the four teams, because the Redskins don't have a great deal of versatility. Doesn't mean they don't have talent. The Cowboys have some injuries, and a lot of the running backs that I threw out are similar in terms of what they bring to the table. And with Philadelphia, as I mentioned, I see guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, can run, they're shifty, but I don't see that big bruiser. The Giants have the big bruiser, they have the running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield, and they have that hybrid back in Peyton Hillis. None of the other teams I see having that type of depth. Let's head back to Twitter, hashtag Giants chat, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. A number of you weighing in on multiple topics, though specifically the Giants running game. And I see we're getting into the offensive line conversation as well, so we'll make sure to touch in on that as we wrap things up here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You continue to weigh in at 201-939-4513. So let's take a look at Twitter. Josh Dunn writes in again at Dunny Villain. I know it's early, but on paper, where would you rank the Giants running game compared to the other NFC East teams? And as I just mentioned, based on versatility, that's all I'm going by, because that's really the only way you can rank these running games. Versatility, I'd put the Giants at number one. I would put Philadelphia at number two. I would put the Cowboys at number three. And I would put the Redskins at number four. That's based on versatility. Based on danger, game-changing type of backs that can really turn the game around in your favor, I'd put Philadelphia number one. I'd put the Giants number two. I would put Dallas, Washington, very close, 3/4. When you take the offensive lines, though, into consideration, because that's another big factor you need to weigh when you rank the running games, Dallas has three young guys right now that they're building the offensive line around. And they improved in terms of protecting Tony Romo and getting that running game going. The running game was nothing to write home about last season, but the offensive line for the Cowboys has made strides if you look at where they left off in the last 2 or 3 years. Washington has a veteran offensive line, and that's why Alfred Morris has been one of the top running backs over the last few seasons since he came into the league. Philadelphia has had to deal with some injuries, but based on their offense, they like to utilize quick passes and the screen game, so that helps them overcome perhaps some of the shortcomings on the offensive line. And with respect to the Giants, they're coming off a shaky season, but they did make improvements. If you take the offensive line into consideration, you probably have to put the Redskins number one in what they get out of their running back. I would probably put Philadelphia and the Giants at that second tier, and then the Cowboys at the third tier. But Dallas, watch out, because Zach Martin now gives them another compliment to Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick, who was their center, their first-round pick last year, who a lot of people were questioning what was Jerry Jones thinking, and he actually turned out to be a productive first-round pick. So this is a very young Cowboys offensive line that is starting to come into its own. But as I mentioned, you take it to all those criteria, that's how I would rank the running games. But you really need to take into consideration a lot of those different criteria, because at this point we haven't seen a lot to tell you this is what Joseph Randle / DeMarco Murray is going to bring to the table, because we don't know how healthy these guys are. You can only go based on a few carries here or there during the course of OTAs and minicamps. All right, let's get back to Twitter and see some of the commentary on the Giants as well as their running game. Avery writes in at TQManAF, Jennings, Wilson, Williams, Hillis should be the running backs on the roster. And those four we talked about in great detail at the beginning of the program. And I believe it was Josh Dunn who threw out the question, and it's a valid question, if Hillis is considered a fullback, does that give them some more options in terms of who they want to keep in the running game? And I think it does, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to keep four running backs and Peyton Hillis plus a fullback. I don't necessarily see them doing that. But Hillis can give you a reason to keep four running backs, because then you could say to yourself, Hillis could be our hybrid back, fullback, running back, receiver. So it's one position that is really giving you three different elements, and there's a great deal of value in that. But I would agree with Avery. I think that those are the four, if they were to keep four, that I would turn to, with Michael Cox being that guy on the outside looking in. Black Caesar, again, at Black Caesar writes, ball security is important to players. We'll have to learn to adapt to the game. We were getting into that conversation with respect to David Wilson when Roldy weighed in about the mechanics that he's utilizing to hold on to the football. And ball security is priority number one, as I mentioned, for every running back on this roster. And let's not forget the wide receivers, too. Ball security is certainly key for them, because in this offense, remember, there's going to be a lot of catch and run. It's not necessarily going to be Victor Cruz run 50 yards down the field and then watch Eli Manning throw you the ball. It's going to be Victor Cruz run a short route, catch the ball, and then utilize your blocking up the field. And that also brings me to another topic that hasn't received a great deal of attention during the course of the offseason. When you think about the West Coast offense and offenses that rely heavily on short passes, whether it be to the running backs or the wide receivers, as I mentioned, blocking up the field is important. So that means that the blocking for the wide receivers is going to be important, too, in how this offense runs. So one of the things that I would look for in the preseason games, how well do Randle, do Cruz, do Manningham, do Jernigan, do Beckham serve as blockers in the screen game to help perhaps one of their teammates get up the field? That would be an important element that I think wasn't necessarily something to be overlooked under the Kevin Gilbride operation, but the fact that you're relying on so many more short passes than you had in the past, you need to get real good blocking up the field, and you can't expect all the blocking to come from the offensive line. Let's get to some more commentary on Twitter. Stu DiMeglio at BigBlueStu42 says that he's been reading some of the media reports out of Giants camp saying Reuben Randle and linebacker Devon Kennard look great in camp. And those two in particular, I would say, have really shined and taken advantage of their opportunities. I mentioned Kennard earlier when Roldy was throwing out the name Dan Fox, the undrafted free agent out of Notre Dame. Kennard, he is in the driver's seat to perhaps solidify a starting job at the linebacker spot, especially with John Beason out. So that just goes to show you how, in a small sample size, he's really impressed the coaching staff. H. Carson fan at Night Moves NJ. This is Mosley and Brewer's last chance to make this squad and contribute, getting to the offensive line topic. Brewer has had his fair share of ups and downs during the course of his career. Mosley, unlike Brewer, here's the difference if you want to bring both of those guys into the heart of the conversation. Mosley has been sidetracked by injuries. Brandon Mosley was a draft pick in 2012. He did not have a rookie season. Why? Because he was immediately placed on IR. So wipe out 2012. 2012 was non-existent to the Brandon Mosley resume. So then you go to last season. Last season was his true rookie year. And if you recall, he got a start in the preseason, tried to take advantage of his opportunities, but they went with the more polished veterans. Then, as the season wore down and guys were getting hurt left and right, and it was a game of musical chairs, Mosley then was inserted into the starting lineup. What happened? The injury bug struck again. He got the start against the Lions, and then he wound up breaking his hand. So then he missed the last few games. This season, he's looked very good during the course of OTAs in minicamp. They've been throwing him into that right guard spot in place of Chris Snee because Chris Snee is dealing with an elbow injury. I agree with H. Carson fan. I think this is a big offseason for Brandon Mosley. But to say that he has had as many opportunities as Jamison Brewer, I don't know if I would necessarily go that far, mainly because Brewer has been on the field more than Mosley has been. So if you're to rank opportunities, Brewer much further ahead of the game than Mosley. But Mosley, from a physical presence, he's come in bigger, he's come in stronger, and the opportunity is going to be there because I don't think they want to really grind out Chris Snee during the course of training camp in the preseason. So Mosley is going to get his reps. Question remains, will he be able to stay healthy? Will he be able to show consistency? You know, that's the key for Brandon Mosley. It's not as if he doesn't know what he's doing, but it's all about consistency. What you bring to the table in preseason game number one, you got to bring to the table in preseason game number two. You can't have a great game in game number one, disappear in game number two. And that relates to the whole Brewer conversation. Brewer also needs to show consistency. The opportunity is there for Brewer with Will Beatty banged up right now, but if you listen to Will Beatty talk, and talk is cheap more often than not, he is circling July 21st. He expects to be ready for training camp. And he's been working out on the side like Mario Manningham, and both of those players expect to get clearance. And I believe they will. I believe Manningham and Beatty will be taking part in training camp. But the durability question, that's going to be the main thing for those two in particular. Right now, Charles Brown has gotten reps at left tackle. Brewer is a guy that they can turn to as well. But just because Beatty is a little bit behind doesn't mean that these two in particular have been running away with that job. And the Giants have a lot invested in Will Beatty. And Will Beatty, if you look at the experience, Will Beatty is the guy that the Giants want to turn to. A lot of people are getting caught up in 2013. The numbers prove that. He struggled. I'll be the last one to sit here and defend Will Beatty. But that doesn't mean that Will Beatty's not the best option at left tackle. Let's not forget about that. Just because a guy has a down year doesn't mean you all of a sudden turn to the next option. Eli Manning had a down year in 2013. I don't hear everybody all of a sudden saying, well, Ryan Nassib should be the starting quarterback. And trust me, I was hearing some of that last season. But let's put the conversation in perspective here. Just because Will Beatty struggled does not mean he is not the best option at left tackle. Let's try to fill in a few more tweets here before we wrap up the show. A lot of people weighing in. Great job on Twitter, as I mentioned, as always, each and every show. You guys do, and gals do, a great job really furthering the conversation. Anthony in Phoenix at ABR127 giving his own ranking for the NFC East running game. Eagles number one, Giants number two, Redskins number three, Dallas number four. As I mentioned, if you look at everything, I would agree, Eagles number one, Giants number two, and then Washington three versus Dallas number four. You really need to get into the nitty-gritty to differentiate both of those teams. I can understand you give Washington the edge because Alfred Morris has stayed healthy, and he has put together consistency over his first two seasons in the league, whereas the Cowboys, because of injuries, haven't necessarily showcased that. So I have no argument with Anthony's rankings when you take all the criteria into consideration. Earlier in the program, I was going based on versatility with one ranking, offensive line, another ranking. But if you take all the pieces together, Philadelphia gets the edge because of what Darren Sproles and LeSean McCoy can do. And Anthony also weighing in saying Jennings should have a breakout year, referring to Rashad Jennings. And Jennings, with what the Giants' offensive line has to offer, with what this offense has to offer, there is no reason why he can't piggyback off of what he showcased with respect to the Oakland Raiders. Let's get to a few more tweets here. Number of you weighing in on a variety of different topics. Oh, we didn't get to a Mike Farmer tweet. This program is never complete until we throw out a Mike Farmer tweet, at MFarmer20. So let's see what is working up Farmer this morning. If the Giants are planning on starting this season with Brewer at left tackle, we will be in serious trouble. And I referred to him as Jameson. I meant James Brewer, so that was a slip of the tongue. I will correct myself regarding that. I don't know why I was making up a new first name for Brewer, but it is James Brewer, just so we can set the record straight. Well, Brewer has struggled, and I don't anticipate Brewer having the left tackle starting job in week one. I think it's going to come down to Will Beatty and Brown. And to me, if Beatty doesn't have a setback in training camp, he's starting week one. A lot of people are throwing out, oh, well, he could go on the PUP list. If Beatty goes on the PUP list, let's not forget about this. That means that he wouldn't take part in all of training camp. So if the Giants are putting Will Beatty on the PUP list to start the regular season, that is not a good sign. And I don't think the Giants are considering that. Will Beatty starts the regular season on the PUP list. That would have meant that he did not take part in training camp. He is rusty. He is still dealing with the injury, but he's not that rusty. Will Beatty week one at the left tackle spot, barring a setback for injury. That's how I see it playing out. And that's the best option for the Giants, regardless of some of the veterans that they've brought in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. All right, let's try to squeeze in a call or two before we wrap in. As I mentioned, great job on Twitter. We'll get to some more of your tweets. I tried to have gotten into each and every tweet over the course of this program. I know a number of you weighing in on a variety of topics. Okay, here is our guy who is really shining throughout the internet. He's got his own program. He's got plenty of pub on the internet. We go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance?
Doing well, Shakes.
Glad
how about
to hear
yourself?
Your voice, man.
Good to hear from you. So what's happening? What's shaking this morning?
Well, you know, I caught some of the show, and I caught when my boy Rhodey called in, and he was on these third-year guys that had to step up. I'm going a step ahead of him, and I'm saying these second-year guys got to step up. I mean, I want to see something from DeMontre Moore. I want to see Hankins come off. You know, I want to see what Cooper Taylor can do when he fills in some roles, because Will Hill's gone. So now we're looking at another safety for, you know, some help here.
Well, you did bring in Demps. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah. And I like Demps. I think he was good, especially last year in Kansas City, right?
He was very effective on special teams as well as the safety spot.
Yeah, and I also thought he was solid in Houston. I don't think he got enough praise there. But, yeah, I like Demps too, but that's what I'm saying. These second-year guys, though, they have to step up, like right now. It shouldn't be no, oh, okay, well, we got to give him another year. No, step up now.
Well, and the opportunities there, I think that's the most important thing to throw into the conversation, Shakes. The two guys that you threw out, you mentioned DeMontre Moore. DeMontre Moore has the opportunity to compete for a starting job opposite JPP. So if he doesn't have ammunition, if he doesn't have motivation, I don't know what else he needs.
And I know, right?
With respect to Cooper Taylor, you know, Taylor has some additional competition more so than DeMontre Moore, but you're right. The fact that he's a guy that can come down and play in the box as well as drop back into coverage, he has some versatility. The thing with Taylor, though, and this relates to DeMontre Moore, injuries. Both of them dealt with injuries during their rookie campaign. They've got to stay healthy, because what happens is they get hurt, They miss training camp. They miss preseason games. And then the coaches don't have an opportunity to evaluate them. And if you're a Giants coaching staff member, Shakes, you're not throwing out a guy that you only got to see on the field for one preseason game when he's barely been in the league.
I agree. But that's my thing about DeMontre Moore and Hankins this year, that they can both be starters if they stepped up and show why we drafted these guys.
Well, I agree, but Hankins I wouldn't be as concerned about, because Hankins, more so than the other two players you mentioned, Shakes, he's at least had starting reps, and he's made an impact. Late last season when he was inserted, he made the most of his time. So Hankins is much further ahead in his development than a guy like Moore and Taylor.
I'll say that too. I just hope that they both step up. I hope DeMontre Moore has a leapfrog in production and this year, because I really think that if he does dominate, he can be that other pass rusher on the other side of JPP, because I don't see Ayers being that pass rusher. I see him more as a run stuffer defensive end. So I'm thinking I need some production from sacks from one of these defensive ends, either Moore or Kiwanuka.
Well, keep in mind, Robert Ayers is coming off a season where he had a career-high 5.5 sacks. Now, with that being said, Shakes, I would agree with you. You can only put so much stock in that. Number one, he's now entering a new defensive system. That was with the Denver Broncos. And I think they look at Ayers also as a guy that could be a hybrid defensive player, because when he first came into the league, he was also utilized as a linebacker. So he could add depth. I know they haven't necessarily been playing him in a linebacker, but in a pinch, you use him as a linebacker, you use him as a defensive end, more so than a guy that you start at a given position. So I would agree. I think it's Kiwanuka versus DeMontre Moore for the position opposite JPP.
That's what's up. But you think that Ayers is doing a Joker role? Because I hear it's more Kiwanuka.
Well, it is Kiwanuka, but in addition to Kiwanuka, let's not forget that Ayers has a similar resume where he's been utilized and moved back and forth from one position to another. Now, that doesn't mean that the Giants want to move him around, because just to give you some background with Robert Ayers, Jack Del Rio, when he took over as the Broncos defensive coordinator under John Fox, he finally put Robert Ayers in a position at defensive end where he was comfortable. Before Jack Del Rio was defensive coordinator, they used Robert Ayers at the linebacker spot. And Ayers will tell you he never felt comfortable in that position. So he doesn't necessarily want to play the linebacker spot, but you can't overlook the fact that he has that on his resume, and with the way that the Giants have had to deal with injury shakes, it doesn't hurt to say, you know what, hey, we can put Ayers there as a stopgap for the time being.
Okay, all right, man, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. You're gonna be on tomorrow, right?
I'm gonna be on tomorrow. You got it. Yep.
All right, I'm gonna try calling it tomorrow. And,
sounds good.
Thanks
Shakes
for taking my call, man.
You got it. Shakes in Baltimore weighing in this morning here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Another thing that I saw in general on Twitter that a number of you are going back and forth about, and I know we pretty much brought up this topic a great deal last season, was Tom Coughlin and the Giants coaching staff doesn't really play rookies as much as they should. Let's keep in mind, you got a new offensive coordinator in Ben McAdoo. You have a number of new coaches. I'm not saying dismiss what has been preached in previous seasons, but let's not necessarily put as much stock in it as we would if the entire coaching staff is coming back. When you have new coaches, you have new voices. You have a new culture. And I know Tom Coughlin is still running the show, but he's also leaning on a lot of new guys. So that doesn't mean that just because rookies haven't had a great deal of opportunities in year one under the previous regime, that script is going to be followed once again this season. So I know that there's some hesitancy about, you know, what type of a role Andre Williams could play, whether or not, you know, this player is going to get X amount of reps. And I understand where you're coming from, and there's some stock to put into that. But the fact that there's so many new coaches who come from various backgrounds, that doesn't mean that they're going to follow the same procedure with their first-year guys. But keep in mind, just because a first-year guy has a great resume coming out of college, he still needs to show something on the football field. That's priority number one. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Larry in Florida. Larry, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love the show. Listen, I am from Gainesville, Florida, right here in the heart
Gator
of the
Nation
country.
You're from Gator Nation, I was going to say.
Yes, sir. But I was born and raised in Plattsburgh, New York. I've always been a Giants fan. You know, I followed you on Facebook, and I saw your question this morning about how many wins. You know, I pegged us at 10-6, and if we can steal one of the big games, you know, Seattle, San Fran, Indy, Atlanta, we can steal one of them. 11-5 is huge. I mean, I look a lot at our free agency, the draft, and I'll tell you right now, as far as the draft's concerned, two people I'm really big on is that Odell at LSU, Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr., correct, out of LSU, their first round pick.
I watched him play for 2 years in LSU. You know, opposite of Victor Cruz, I'm excited about that. The big bowling ball kid coming out of Boston College running in the backfield for us, he's huge. I love everything about them big running backs. That really excites me, especially, you know, I hope it helps our passing game. What did we go through, 5 running backs last year?
It was a game of musical chairs. You're right. A lot of guys went down because of injuries, as well as offensive linemen.
Right. And, you know, like I said, you know, when we start 0-6, we ended 7-3. You know, Eli had a tough year. The offense struggled terrible. I'll take the 7-3 moving into this year. I got us pegged at 10-6, but I would love to steal one of the big games. You know, I figure a split with Washington. That'd be great to take both of them games. I'm not even concerned with Dallas this year. They're waiting to fall apart again.
Well, but Larry, keep this in mind, and I'll let you continue. When you speculate about the schedule, the divisional games are tough, and even though teams have been banged up in the division and lost some players, these teams know each other so well, and a lot of the schemes have changed across the division. Keep in mind, the Redskins have a new coach in Jay Gruden, so Washington's going to have a new look. The Giants have a new offensive scheme. Dallas has brought in some new coaches. Philadelphia is really the only team that is pretty much bringing back what they showcased the previous season.
Right. Well, that's big down here right now in Gator country. You know, the Redskins changing their coaching staff. They believe that Muschamp gets fired early this year, and Shanahan and his son are coming here. That's all that's talked about down here right now. But, you know, I'm really excited to see the Giants. 10-6, I think that puts us in the playoffs. 11-5 would be just... That'd be great this year. That would be, after last year, that'd be phenomenal. I think Eli's going to have a good year. Coming off of last year, I think he's really excited. His foot, you know, it looks like from what I've seen a little bit, he's moving around good. I think we're in good shape. I really do. You know, I'd love to split with Washington and Philly. That's always, that just splitting every year is a big year, you know? You said divisional games. I think that's huge.
Well, you still need to sweep somebody, ideally, because you really want to separate yourself from the rest of the pack in the event that you lose a game out of the division. So splits are nice, but you got to take care of business against
the divisional game is going to be Philly. This year, I think that's going to be our toughest.
I agree. I think the Eagles, on paper, in reality, I think Philadelphia is probably the stiffest competition for the New York Giants because of the personnel and the scheme they run. I would absolutely agree with that.
Yep. They're down here. We're down here November 30th in Jacksonville, so I'll be at that game. You know.
Well, that's good, that's Larry. What you should do is then call back in. We want a scouting report from you.
Oh, absolutely. I'd do that in a heartbeat. Hey, listen, we got a lot to build off of after last year. You know, it was kind of an ugly season, but I thought the going 0-6 and ending 7-3, that was a good note. You know, a lot of struggles, a lot of injuries, but that was a good note. We'll see what happens. We got some young kids. Like I said, that Odell Beckham coming in from LSU, like I said, for 2 years I've watched that kid. He is he's just like Victor Cruz. He can go get the ball no matter what it takes, and we need that. Eli needs that help.
You need playmakers. You need guys that once they get the football, they can do plenty of damage, plus he can help contribute on special teams. So I agree. His versatility is a great value.
Hey, the offensive line steps up a little bit this year and stays healthy. Like I said, we're in good shape. 10-6, love to see 11-5. That'd be huge. And who knows, isn't this Coughlin's last year on his contract?
Well, Coughlin was extended, so he has some insurance on that contract right now.
Yeah, and after last year, you watch. You know Coughlin since he's been with us. Have a little off year, and they always come back big, just like our two Super Bowl years.
Hey, the team comes back hungry. You're 100% right.
There's a lot to get excited
about. Absolutely. Larry, listen, love the enthusiasm. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Hey, guys, love the show. Have a great day.
All right, sounds good. Larry in Florida. And Mike Farmer, who was writing it on Twitter, he said he was a big fan of the enthusiasm as well. To compare callers here, and, you know, I love to have some fun at your expense, Larry, to me, I would love to see him in a room with Charlie in Maine. Because, see, Charlie gave up on the season, and we actually put it up on the wall here in our studio. So, Charlie, I want you to know that we value your opinion on this program. March 14th, 2014, Charlie in Maine completely gave up on the season. That was at 11:08 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have documented that. Now, at 10:44 a.m. Eastern on June 25th, Larry is talking about a 10-11 win season. There we go, opposite ends of the spectrum. We have Larry on one end, we have Charlie on the other. You got to love Big Blue Nation, people. You've got to love it. Hashtag Giants Chat, at Lance Meadow on Twitter. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's try to squeeze in a couple of tweets or two before we wrap up this bad boy this morning. A lot of great tweets. You're really fed off of this conversation. Let's take a look at some of the most recent tweets. Josh Dunn, again, at Dunny Villain, writing in, piggybacking off of Larry's point about what the Giants' record could be. I got us losing. Oh, Josh has losses all lined up here. The Lions, the Seahawks, the Niners, the Colts, the Rams, the Eagles, and the Cowboys on the road for a 9-7 record. I love speculating about record, but it is so early. I mean, I don't even know what some of these opponents are going to look like. We're talking about injuries. We're talking about depth charts. I understand it's fun in games, but, I mean, to get in whether or not this team's going to finish with 9 wins, this team's going to finish with 10 wins, very, very premature. And a number of you are weighing in. H. Carson fan agrees 9-7 as well. So two we have at 9-7. Larry thinks perhaps 10 or 11 wins. Let's get back to some more specifics on positions. H. Carson fan at Night Moves NJ, both Taylor, referring to Cooper Taylor and DeMontre Moore, were asked to put on weight and muscle. How did they look in OTAs, Lance? Well, for the most part, I would say the guys have bulked up. If I'm to rank bulking up, and boy, you know we're really taking this conversation to the 10th degree when we're ranking guys and how they bulked up. Marcus Kuhn pretty much puts everybody else to waste because Marcus Kuhn is an absolute beast, monster, whatever vocabulary word comes to mind. If there's one guy that bulked up, Marcus Kuhn takes the award. Behind him, Taylor and Moore, I think, have made strides. Do they look like the Michelin man? No. But they have certainly bulked up compared to where they were last season, and that is part in the development as individual players. It's not just what you could do on the field. It's not just what you could do in the classroom, but it's also what you can do with your physique. So they have made improvements, but I wouldn't say that if you walked by them or you looked at a picture, they would necessarily stand out like Marcus Kuhn. Marcus Kuhn, he stands out. You put him in a room, you say, wow, distinct difference between some of the other players. I believe that's the majority of the most recent tweets. Let me see if I can squeeze in another one before we wrap things up. Oh, Mike Farmer. Mike Farmer now wants to be put up on the wall of shame with the markdowns. Mark me down for 10-11 wins as of now. Larry totally convinced me. So there we go. I'm actually going to get my pen out. And I am going to add underneath Charlie. And I'm actually doing this. I'm not trying to blow some smoke up. You know what? I'm going to put Larry in Florida down for 10 wins. Because he was hopeful for 11. And that is as of June 25th at 10:45, we'll put down as the time. And then with a star next to it, so this gives Mike Farmer an opportunity to pull a 180, which he has a lot of talents. We'll put him down as a potential 10-win barometer right now. So there you go. Two fans at 10, and then H. Carson and Josh Dunn, 9-7. So we've got some optimism here way before we start training camp. It is nice to hear. Very nice to hear. Let's try to take a look at one or two more tweets before we wrap up the program. And this is great. We're now debating with one another over whether or not you believe they should win 10 or 11 games. I'm seeing fans go back and forth with one another and questioning their alliance with the New York Giants. We love to stir up the pot each and every morning here on Giants.com. Giants for life at Toby Gleish. I have a sweeping the Redskins, splitting with the Eagles and Cowboys, going 10-6 or better. So there we go. Everybody jumping on the 10-win bandwagon. It is nice to see and nice to hear very early this season. So that's going to wrap things up for us here on this Wednesday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. I will be back tomorrow morning for Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, and we'll continue the conversation. If you want to chime in on any of the topics we talked about today, feel free to do that. And I also want to move on to another position. Let's go with wide receivers tomorrow. We did running backs. We'll evaluate the Giants wide receiver depth chart, and we'll also get into the Cowboys, Redskins, and Eagles, what they have to offer at the receiver spot. So for those of you who have some time, start studying up the rest of the day. Bring your A game tomorrow morning. We'll get your tweets. We'll get your phone calls on that. The rest of the week, just to give you the schedule, Paul DeTino will be in on Friday. I am making my long trek to the middle of the country to celebrate with John Schmelk. And I will have a full recap on Monday. So I want tweets. I want phone calls on the festivities for Monday's program, just to give you an idea of the type of program we have in store for you on Giants.com. And you can interact with me and follow with me on Twitter at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, even when we are off the air here on Giants.com. I'll try to answer any of the tweets I did not get a chance to answer throughout the course of the program. Great stuff on Twitter, great stuff on the lines. We will continue the conversation on Thursday morning. Lance Medow signing off here on Giants.com. Have a good one. We'll speak to you tomorrow.